Okay, good afternoon. Can you hear me fine? Today's presentation is on prevalence of CAM use for back and musculoskeletal problems in Puerto Rico. This is my disclosure of no conflict for personal financial reasons. And I would like to acknowledge the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, or AHRQ, who provided our grant to conduct the study, as well as the Puerto Rico Health Services Research Institute. I would like to also acknowledge my colleagues, Dr. Lida Ortanez, Dr. Ruth Rios, and colleagues cooperating and collaborating on this particular project. Always start with a definition on CAM, and we use the NCAM definition of complementary and alternative medicine as a group of diverse medical and healthcare systems, practices, and products that are not presently considered to be part of conventional medicine. When we refer to conventional medicine, we refer to MDs, ODs, and the diverse allied health professions within that definition. Musculoskeletal problems are a leading cause of disability in the United States. They account for more than half of all chronic conditions of people over age 50 in developed countries. It has a devastating economic impact. In the United States, healthcare costs and lost wages have been estimated at more than $800 billion. This is 7.7% of U.S. national gross domestic product. So it's very clear that it has very significant economic implications aside from implications on the well-being of individuals. The study had three primary aims, three specific aims. Develop a CAM survey instrument to be used in Puerto Rico. Secondly, based on that instrument, after validation, profile CAM utilization patterns in Puerto Rico, and finally, formulate a more comprehensive study on CAM utilization and the characteristics of individuals who use this diverse set of modalities. Several research questions guided our study. What is the extent of use of CAM in Puerto Rico? To what extent is CAM used in the island? Secondly, for what medical conditions do Puerto Rican residents in the island most commonly use CAM? Third, what social demographic factors distinguish CAM users? And fourth, to what extent are medical doctors responsible or informed about the use of CAM by their patients? For today's presentation, our focus is on the second bullet, for what medical conditions do Puerto Rican residents in the island most commonly use CAM, in particular for MSD and back problems. Therefore, the purpose of the presentation is to describe prevalence of CAM use for back problems and MSDs. Research was based on a pilot community sample, specifically in the municipality of Bayamón in Puerto Rico. We will analyze implications for healthcare delivery policy based on the findings. Research design was a cross-sectional survey study of exploratory and descriptive nature. We used Dr. Luan Adey's conceptual model for health services systems. We validated the 2007 National Health Interview Survey Alternative Health Supplement, which is an instrument developed in Spanish used by the NHIS, or the National Health Interview Survey, on two different years to look at CAM research questions. As many of you may know, this is a study that is conducted on a yearly basis by the federal government, but for CAM in particular, it has been conducted in 2 years. The first one was in 2002, and the second one in 2007. So what we did was to base our research on the Spanish version of that instrument used in the United States and then adapted, culturally adapted and validated to Puerto Rico's context and reality. As part of the process, we developed focus groups with consumers and providers, both MDs and CAM providers, as well as CAM consumers. And after receiving their input, developed the instrument and was administered to 203 individuals based on a multi-stage probability sample. It was a household study based on face-to-face interviews. And again, in particular, within the municipality of Bayamón. This is was a pilot project basically to achieve the specific aims presented earlier. These are the categories of CAM modalities that were included in the instrument. As you can see them here, I will not read all of them, but they are based on the NCCAM definitions of healthcare systems, medical systems, and alternative medical systems, and they are included on that particular slide. To give you some frame of reference, if you're not that familiar with Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is an island at south and east of Florida, Cuba, and Dominican Republic, having the north, the Atlantic Ocean on the north and the Caribbean Sea on the south. The red area, it's the municipality which was the focus of this particular study, Bayamón. The characteristics or some of the characteristics of the Bayamón population are presented. This is an urban area, 100% urban, with a population somewhat over 200,000 inhabitants. Population density is close to 5,000 inhabitants per square mile. And just as a point of comparison, included the District of Columbia, who has a really high population density, especially because usually it's included in the list of states, and of course the state's territories are much larger, so you're going to see much smaller population density compared to what DC is. But that gives you some sense of where we are with this particular area who was the target for the study. Looking at the sample, we found that around two-thirds of the sample were female. The median age was 52, and median years of education 13, which basically means that the median is 1 year of college, typical profile of this particular population. In addition, we found that for the whole sample, health insurance status reflected that 93% of the sample had some type of insurance. In fact, it's not on any of these presentations, but I searched in the morning, and I would like to add that private insurance out of those 93% are around 70%, and 30% are under public health insurance in Puerto Rico, which is a Medicaid, a managed care Medicaid type of public insurance system, to give you some idea what are we talking about. Looking at CAM benefits, health insurance, health plan that have CAM benefit accounted for around a fifth, 18%, close to a fifth of the participants in the study. And looking at the annual family income, close to two-thirds or 58% had family income less than 30,000. So we're looking at a population that is certainly low income and falling into the poverty type of line in the island. Looking at how the variables were operationalized, back pain was defined as cervical, thoracic, and lumbar pain. and musculoskeletal disorders were defined as those including conditions such as arthritis, sciatic, joint inflammation, fibromyalgia, fracture, osteoporosis, tendinitis, sprain, and strain. A profile was developed with the most frequently reported medical conditions. And as you can see, we got a number one, back problems with 48%. And we got other conditions that can be appreciated, like headaches, allergies, anxiety, so forth and so on. Musculoskeletal problems, the way they were defined, accounted for 34%. So those are really high numbers, especially if you compare them to the U.S. Back problems, it's number one complaint in terms of CAM use, and it's around 17%. So it's a very big difference. However, this is a pilot project with methodological limitations. It was conducted on that specific municipality within Puerto Rico. So those are considerations that are important to keep in mind. But still, it suggests that is a very, very important problem for individuals, and that CAM may be an option seek by many people. Lifetime CAM use rate for back problems specifically accounted, as I mentioned, for basically 48%. Out of that 48%, 18 reported, of those that reported back problems, 18 reported using at least one CAM modality, and the most common ones were massage, chiropractic, and acupuncture. When we look at MSDs, or musculoskeletal disorders, the way they were made operational within the study design, 22% of those that reported any of those conditions use at least one CAM modality to treat their problem, and the most used modalities for those conditions were vitamins and minerals, massage, and herbal supplements. So, summarizing, again, this is a study with some limitations that have to be kept in mind, but still, data suggests a high prevalence of back conditions and MSDs in the island. Also a significant use of CAM modalities. And certainly it's well documented in the literature that CAM is very frequently used for managing conditions, disease, pain, in particular in the chronic condition area. CAM, it's highly used to manage health problems, and that's reflected when we look at this back and musculoskeletal problems. So still, this brings implications in terms of the role that CAM health benefits could have if health insurance plans will have more coverage on CAM modalities. There is no question that there is potential for integration of CAM with conventional care in a more integrative way, but those will be topics for further discussion and for further study. Okay. Limitation of the study, I already mentioned the size of the sample, the restricted location. We use one municipality for a variety of reasons, including budget. So what we would like to do is to expand the study to the whole island and in the future be able to make comparisons with populations in the U.S. So that's my presentation, and I don't know if we're getting the presentation or the questions now, but I'll be happy to entertain those whenever it is. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Yeah, Beth?
I'm just wondering how you feel from kind of a conceptual or theoretical point of view seem adequate. And I'm wondering if, you know, from a perspective of being Puerto Rican, knowing how herbs, how perhaps Santeria or other spiritual methods are used, do you feel that the paradigm of camp needs to change, needs to be more relevant?
Redefine. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't have like the answer to the definition that we should have, but I agree. In fact, the NC Camp definition that is typically used in all of our presentations, I think it has to fulfill a purpose, but it's I think that when I read, you know, mention it or describe it, seems to me like too simplistic. It's not what this is. So this is camp because this is not what this other thing is, like the conventional care. So I think that should be a line of research and reflection. I think the cultural context is very important too. I'm sorry?
You made some changes.
And I was going to say exactly what you're bringing up, which is that for the instrument, we call it it was a cultural adaptation because we took it from the validation that the federal government have done here already with that Spanish instrument. So we did this cultural adaptation, and I think the purpose was to correct any of those limitations that you're mentioning, are this set of responses adequate for Puerto Rico's people? Do they make sense there? There were some that, in fact, we didn't have any of some modalities there, so they were eliminated. And for example, back problems, the focus groups strongly wanted, and we did, to keep back problems separate from MSDs, as you saw here. And that would be another line of discussion. But I think it has to do with the cultural context to where the research is going to be conducted. I think so. Yes?
I have a couple of questions. You were mentioning in one of the slides, you mentioned that you were looking at lifespan prevalence.
Lifetime prevalence, yes.
That was the prevalence for all conditions, like a lifespan.
Let me bring the slide so we can. Like that one?
Yeah.
Lifetime, yeah. The question was, have you ever used, have you ever had, let's say, back problem or this other problem? And then have you ever used a particular modality? So the ever use, it's the lifetime type of question versus the other way, it's many. In fact, our study, our questionnaire includes the recall for 12 months, which is very typical. Have you ever used or did you have this condition over the past 12 months? No, we didn't use it here, but this is the lifetime. Have you ever? We had a very small response on the 12 months, so that's why we it's not on the presentation.
Because among the most skeletal problems that you mentioned, fractures,
for example. Right.
Other conditions that are like more like acute, to say in a way. Like,
do you see
on that? Yeah. Yeah, like fracture, injury, or
right.
Like sprain.
Right.
With having these definitions, like in the analysis you did, you check also for like this type of conditions, like for acute conditions, like the use of
acute conditions. Okay, so like fracture, for example?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't have the data here to really answer your question, because I will have to go back to the data base and see how many responses or if we were obtained on that, on those particular categories. But yes, they were included in the questions.
And the second question, it was significant to see that 40% of the people didn't know if their health insurance will cover.
That's a good point.
Do you have any idea of what is the percentage of insurance companies that cover care modalities?
Yeah. We have speculated, but we don't really know. And it's not good to have 40% that say, I don't know. And I mean, it could be good or it could be bad. I don't think there was anything wrong with the instrument, but it really makes you think about how is it possible that you don't know if you have, well, it's a CAM benefit. It's not having health plan, it's a CAM benefit. So
it's very common even in our practice, like many of us do not know until the patient thinks that they might or they might not.
Right.
Sometimes they have, so it's when it is provided by the your employer, you do not know what all CAM benefits are all out there. Sometimes they do include chiropractic, or sometimes they do have anticoms, or sometimes they don't.
That is significant.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
It is.
In terms of people may want to access that.
Right. And I think it has to do with educating yourself on and being informed of what your policy has. I don't know, but it has happened to me. You have all these pamphlets with all the this amazing level of detail, and you don't have ever time to read the whole thing. And sometimes you say, well, do my policy cover, I don't know, liver transplant, let's say an example, that's major medical, but I mean, it's not unusual that the language is so cumbersome on health policies that you don't know all that is there, and that could be, but it's a good point, and it's a point of inquiry that on further research I would like to pursue with my research team. It's like, you know, maybe different questions or added questions on a future study. But it's high, 40%. There is a message there, depending how it's interpreted. Any other comment or question? Yes?
Do you mind sharing the story behind separating back conditions briefly, if you
will? Right, the main justification on that is that the focus groups, providers, clinicians, and the CAM providers and the MDs with, let's say, acupuncture training, all of them strongly said, we want to separate that. If you look at, their argument was that if you use, let's say that those set of conditions, the statement of a back problem will get diffused on those. I mean, fibromyalgia may include, I mean, it will include the back, but you don't know. Back is much more specific. Osteoporosis, joint problems. So they wanted to keep it separate so that it wasn't combined. And in fact, learning a bit more about NIOSH and OSHA, I know that there has been also a process of defining, redefining, and defining MSDs and back problems. So it seems to be that there's still some level of controversy on how you do that. So that's why we have the two different categories operationalized in that way.
In a way that makes sense, because there is 80 to 90% of the population suffers from one time or the other back pain.
Exactly.
So you want to really know what's happening with that back pain.
Right. And in addition, I mean, you could argue that back problems are related to stress and how you manage your energy and you deal with your emotional problems. And so there could be variations on how all the linkages are connected to back problems. Yes.
That actually, I guess I could segue into the question, because I was sitting here thinking about how in Puerto Rico you have all these back. You know, I know what causes them here, at least I think a lot of us would agree it's usually work related, at least in the healthcare profession. But then I was just thinking, you know, I didn't know if it was more worker, maybe the same kind of thing, more manual labor work, but I think you just tapped a kind of a thought in my mind, what's the cultural, like, thoughts, and then looking from a prevention standpoint, how could you address, like, we have all these lift policies, or we're trying to get all this legislation passed for lifts in hospitals, but with you, culturally, you had made a mention about it being your stress or problem, because I know there's always cultural reading behind, you know, population. Mm-hmm. So does this spur any thoughts of how you might look to, and it may not be an area of your interest, but if you could advise policy in Puerto Rico, would it be more looking at training techniques for lift, or do you think there is more of a cultural approach you can take to decreasing musculoskeletal and back pain, these kinds of
Right. But we couldn't tell from the study, but I think certainly there are major issues with how to lift training, ergonomic training, and how to do lifting, and how to enable workers and companies and organizations to protect their workers with prevention and a strong preventive ergonomic program in terms of injuries at on the work site. The other sources of back problems, I mean, that would be harder to tackle and need to say but specifically. Let me just add that this morning I went to another session, and the authors were presenting on the same, the NHIS supplement, the CAM supplement, for 2007, on CAM as prevention, and I attended because I saw the title, and I think it was very intriguing. And we have those same questions because we use their same instrument to adapt it, and they have this question on: do you use CAM for wellness and for prevention? I think we have run some frequencies or percentages, but I really don't remember them. But they did presented their analysis for 2007, and basically what they documented is that there were diverse questions, all of them indicating high percentages on people going to get CAM services for wellness, for prevention, or a high percentage that they were not there for a specific condition. They went there because they felt that they were going to get some benefit and wellness. And I think that's a line on CAM that has to be explored more in detail and maybe linked to this topic. Yeah. Questions or comments?
I would like to address the in addition to your response to your question, culturally in Puerto Rico, we don't have, I mean, we have all these rules, not that much enforcement, as may happen in some other places. So our approach is not really as to prevention towards, you know, more cities, towards the clinical intervention after the fact, unfortunately. So in terms of your question, we do have some initiatives that actually connect workers' compensation benefits with some of these alternative methods. It's not as much as we would like to see.
Yeah, Dr. Ortanes is a co-author on the paper, and her specialty is on ergonomics. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much.